The recording has started. You may begin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on Thursday, July 20th, 2017. On today's call, we have Adetola Sogar-Zaysom, Andrew Mack, Andy Abrams, Barbara Warner, Ben Wallace, Cecilia Smith, Chris Wilson, Denise Michel, Jensen Lussier, John Berard, Mark Daddyfield, Rivaldo Cueto, Philip Corwin, Steve DoBianco, and Tim Chen. We have apologies from Allison Simpson, Jay Sadowski, Marie Petullo, and Stephanie Duchesneau. From staff, we have myself, Chantal Dirksen. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for the transcript. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Andrew.
Great, Chantal. Thank you very much. I know that it is summer for a lot of people, and I know that this is a busy time for a lot of people. So I'm going to try to make this call as efficient as we possibly can, and starting off with an efficient intro from my side, I had two things that I wanted to flag. One was to thank everybody from the BC who participated in the outreach event in Johannesburg. It was a terrific event. We had a very good outreach call afterwards recently to discuss it, and we wanted to, on behalf of the outreach committee, I'd like to thank everybody who participated from the BC side. I think we all showed really very well. And I know that there are a number of new members that are in the pipeline who we think that we may be able to get out of that, and I think that's very exciting. It's an example of what I think we can do, and let's see what we can do to push everybody over the finish line and get them in as new members of the BC and new active members. So thank you all, not just members of the outreach committee, but everyone who showed up to speak. That was really wonderful, and thanks specifically to Jensen, who was the lead on putting that event together. The second thing is I wanted to welcome Chris Wilson back. Chris, wonderful to see you in the chat. Wonderful news that you're back a part of the BC. That's just amazing news. And on behalf of the BC, we are thrilled to have you, and we are thrilled to have you, someone as knowledgeable and as active as you've been in the past, to be back with us. So that's all really good news from my side. Steve, if you're ready, I'll go ahead and drop the mic and hand it over to you to do the policy side.
Thank you, Andrew. Chantel will put up the policy calendar, which I circulated two days ago. It's an abbreviated run-through today. We'll probably get through this in time to leave more for Jensen. We filed two comments on behalf of the BC since we last met in Johannesburg. On July the 7th, we commented on the new procedure for handling conflicts between who is and privacy law. Let me thank Cheryl and Susan Kawaguchi, Cheryl Miller and Susan Kawaguchi, for their work on that. And then on July the 10th, the BC filed a comment that was drafted by Allison Simpson, Andrew Mack, and Phil Corwin. And this was a comment on the proposed implementation of some of the GNSO recommendations for how to protect IGO, internet intergovernmental organizations, and international non-governmental organizations identifiers. We were only one of four groups that commented on that. So again, it's so important for the BC to get a voice out there for the general business community on items like that. And thanks again to the volunteers. On the current calendar, we really only have two items. The first is a draft framework has been published for registry operators to respond to security threats. And these comments close on the 31st of July. This is a result of a project that took 2 years for the registries, registrars, and the GACS Public Safety Working Group to collaborate and figure out how specifically to respond to Specification 11. We call it Spec 11. It's the safeguards portion of the new GTLD registry agreement. And all of that was born at the GAC meeting in Beijing in 2013, where the GAC came out with advice saying that there ought to be public interest commitments and safeguards. Now, the comments that we've put together, I think, are outstanding. And let me thank Denise Michel for the leadership she showed in doing that. It's the first attachment to the policy calendar, and you've all had it in your hands now for 2 days. This suggests that the registries need incentives to implement these safeguards and that we need to be more specific on definitions and obligations. And I note in the policy calendar that the BC has been pretty specific and active on commenting on safeguards. And it hasn't been where the BC simply buys into everything the GAC has said with respect to safeguards. The BC had a very balanced view because of the realization that a registry can't be expected to police the content on domain names that happen to live in their zone file. They need to be responsive and reactive when concerns arise, but we did not buy into the idea that they had to do proactive audits of the security of a website that happened to have its domain name in their zone. So I think that Denise has reflected on previous BC positions and has an excellent draft comment. So while we have the time, Denise is with us on the call. Let's see if we, Denise, if you'd like to say anything more about that draft and see if BC members have any potential comments. We will not have another call between now and when this comment will be filed on the 31st of July. Denise?
Thanks, Steve. I don't have any particular comments. Happy to answer any questions. As you, Steve noted, we're supportive of the draft and have suggestions on a few suggestions on how to clarify and hopefully improve it and improve its chances of actual use. Thanks.
And Denise notes in here that we ought to consider a system of incentives for adoption and implementation of some of these best practices and security threats. So I think the BC is trying to be proactive. We are trying to be positive and get something out of here that will actually make a difference. All of this is going to come back around as we consider the guidebook, the applicant guidebook, and the next registry agreement for new GTLDs, because Spec 11, again, was never subject to community development. Spec 11 came from GAC advice, got inserted into the contract where it belongs, because ICANN needs to be able to enforce it. All right, looking at the queue, I don't see any other hands up. Denise, thanks again for your drafting on that. Appreciate it. We only have one other open public comment at this point, and it's on proposed changes to the GNSO's operating procedures and a couple of technical changes to the ICANN bylaws. And why are they needed? Well, the GNSO is trying to respond to the new rights and responsibilities as part of the empowered community, which we created out of the ICANN-IANA transition. These comments don't close until the 10th of August. I chaired the drafting team that developed these changes. And I probably have told you all before is that the CSG, the Commercial Stakeholders Group, we had preferred the GNSO be a part of the empowered community by virtue of the GNSO constituent parts and not the GNSO council. We tried, but we were unsuccessful at having that view prevail at the threshold necessary. So it is the council, the GNSO council, that speaks for the GNSO, and of course the BC has two elected counselors who help to articulate that position. So we tried, but nonetheless we failed, and what we have now is a set of changes. I have kept all of you apprised of this over the past 8 or 9 months, so there's no surprises in here, and I will be recommending that we note our difference by having the council instead of the GNSO constituents exercise this power. But having noted that difference and that concern, that we would believe that these procedures and bylaws changes are appropriate for the GNSO to exercise its power. So it'll be a very brief comment, and I'll circulate it in time for you to review. I'd be happy to have any other volunteers who want to help me out with that, who feel like they want to get up to speed more on the way the GNSO handles these powers. Let me turn now to the third review of ICANN's accountability and transparency, the ATRT, and we call it ATRT3. And Adetola is with us on the call. And Adetola, thank you for applying and seeking the GNSO's endorsement to be part of ATRT3. And Adetola, I'm interested to know, have you been informed whether you've been endorsed yet? And Susan's the one who actually chairs the GNSO selection committee. Adetola, do you have any news for us on whether you've been approved? Not hearing Adetola, but I hope that we can get and placed on this ATRT as part of the GNSO's endorsed positions. The GNSO gets to pick three people who are guaranteed to be on the ATRT3. And Susan's in a very good position to help us to get Anatola into that mix. When we met in Johannesburg, there was significant discussion of a new task force to try to document the uses of WHOIS for the purposes of explaining to the European Union data protection regulators the purposes of WHOIS to see whether they would grant an exception for it. That is our ICANN CEO's view. He thinks he can pursue that. But if he's unsuccessful in that, we still need to be able to document that these are legitimate uses and therefore in compliance with the European General Data Protection Regulation. We are lucky to have Susan Kawaguchi representing the business constituency on that task force. And I want to thank all the BC members who contributed to use cases to throw into the exercise for this task force. I thought I would now turn it over to Phil Corwin to talk a little bit about council. You'll see on the policy calendar that I've noted the previous council meeting was last week on the 13th of July, and the next one's not until the 24th of August. Phil, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I'm off mute now. As you noted in the, and I'm just getting one other document up here to have all the information in front of me. Okay, so as you noted, we had adopted two resolutions at the meeting last Thursday. One was confirming Council Chair James Waddell to represent the GNSO as the decisional participant on the Empowered Community Administration, and the other was to approve the proposed amendments to Section 4.2 of the Article Bylaws regarding Board Committee for Reconsideration requests. We're also, as you noted, looking at RDS services. Susan's the expert on that one, and some other action items from last Thursday's meeting. We approved a format for the council review of the GAC communique from Johannesburg. There was only one piece of GAC advice in that communique, which related to the working group on curative rights protections for IGOs, the group of which I'm co-chair. We are in the process of, we being the leadership of the council and some other members, including myself, are working out the final language in regard to IGOs. Also, although there was not new advice in that communique on the GEO names issue, we did have participation in the council meeting from the co-chairs of the subsequent procedures working group, and they've suggested be helpful to there was some other language, non-advice language, in the GAC communique relating to GEO names, and we're also looking to develop some response to that, and we anticipate a vote next week on the revised language so we can get the language to the board before it needs to consider the GAC advice. So that's going on. We've continued to, we deferred the motion on basically stepping away, no longer being an endorser of the CCWGN Internet governance. That's not because the council doesn't think that Internet governance is not very important. We do think it's very important, but we think that that particular CCWG is just not meeting the ICANN requirements for a CCWG. We're still searching for a way forward on this, but the motion is deferred, so we have to address it at our next meeting, which I believe is August 24th. And we're also the final item. We had a discussion of the CCWG on the use of country and territory names, which, of course, relates to the GEO names issue I just referenced in regard to response to the GAC. And we're considering drafting a motion on this for discussion at the August meeting, and we're soliciting input from the CCNSO as well. So that's all the action items from our meeting last Thursday, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Great. Does anyone have a question that they would like, or to get some more detail from Phil? Okay, I'm not seeing anything. Anything else?
Jimson has a hand up. I'm not sure if that's on my report.
No, my apologies. I didn't see it. Jimson, please go ahead.
Yes, that's true. This is Jimson speaking. Yeah, Phil, I just want to find out, now that we have a delegate to the Empower community, that is James Blady, is there anything that you're hearing with regard to maybe exercising some of the powers, like maybe blocking the budget, things like that?
The audio is a little muddy, Jimson. Are you asking if there's any budget implications for this, or I think that was your question.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure.
Okay, so sorry, maybe I should be louder. I was just trying to find out, since we now have James Blady as the decisional participant in the Empower Community Administration, so I wanted to find out if there is any information or any issue coming up with regard to blocking the ICANN budget. Is there anything like that?
Oh, blocking the ICANN budget. I'm not aware of any, but I'm not the expert on that. I'll defer if anyone else has information on that. But there was, I can't tell, there was no, I don't recall any discussion at the council meeting last week of any imminent issue where we might invoke the empowered community to object to an action by the board. So I'm not aware of anything near term that could result in that. But we did want to get James appointed so that we're in a position if something arises, because my understanding is that the time frames when the empowered community needs to move forward are very tight. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay. Very welcome.
Great. Thank you, Jimson. Thank you, Phil. Any other questions or comments? Susan Saw, you just joined the call. Would you like to, is there anything you'd like to jump in on? We're now on section C. Okay, good enough. Just let me give you that opportunity.
Okay, thanks.
Chantel, would we like to talk quickly about the GNSO Council election process and where we are with that in the timeline?
Hi, Andrew. It's Chantel. Jimson's going to cover the elections under his report.
Fantastic. Okay, good enough. I want to make sure we were in that. Okay, if there are no further comments, right. If there are no further comments on the for council update, then let's go to the CSG report, if we could.
Okay. Thank you. Everybody hear me okay?
Perfectly well.
Okay. Great. I will be brief to allow a lot more time for Jimson. Basically, ICANN staff has reached out to the non-contracted party house concerning and whether we want to have an intersessional meeting in 2018. The CSG will have a call probably sometime in August, where I'm sure this will be a topic of discussion. But I'm also anxious to solicit views from the BC concerning this also. A couple of things we want to keep in mind is the timing of this meeting. There is a GNSO Strategic Council meeting that's tentatively scheduled for January 2018, and ICANN staff has proposed that perhaps we kind of piggyback these two meetings. The benefit of that is especially if ICANN staff participates in the GNSO Strategic Council, that would better ensure our ability to engage with ICANN staff in the intersessional. That point in particular was disappointing when we met in Iceland earlier this year. So, and I think in our BC XCOM meeting at wrapping up the intersessional, I think that's what we all agreed, that if we're going to do this either every year or every other year, that it's critical to have ICANN staff there in person for their engagement. It's also unclear where this meeting will take place. Again, going from the Iceland example, I think the priority should be on a location that will ensure ICANN staff attendance and that is reasonably accessible for all participants. And then finally, topics for discussion. Steve led a very interesting plenary session in Iceland that explored the roles and expectations of the non-contracted party house and touched on what we might want to realize from the 2019 GNSO review. I would like to propose that perhaps we put that forward as a topic for discussion at the intersessional. It was very interesting for me to see that 100% of the respondents that participated in a post intersessional survey indicated that they would be willing to attend another meeting. I was hearing mixed views during the actual Iceland meeting as to whether we needed to meet every year. So, anxious to solicit views from the BC concerning the utility of meeting every year for these intersessional meetings or whether we can do this every other year. I guess the benefit of meeting every year is that it keeps the lines of communication open with the non-commercial stakeholders group and enables constituency consensus building on issues. In terms of ICANN 60 planning, we will delve into this in our upcoming CSG conference call in August. The deadline for cross-community topics is tomorrow. I don't know if anybody has any ideas. That gives you a pretty fast and turnaround deadline on that. You also might want to consider what meetings you would find useful for the BC at ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi, and we will also consider what meetings it would be useful for the CSG to have at that meeting. Point of interest that there will be a special farewell ceremony for Steve Crocker planned at the Abu Dhabi meeting. So why don't I just wrap it up with that to enable Jimson to walk us through the election process. Thank you. Anybody have any questions?
Barbara, thank you very, very much. That was a great report. Denise, I see your hand up. You want to jump in?
Yes. First, just quickly to respond to Barbara, I think I'm hoping that someone else has suggested that we continue a cross-community dialogue on GDPR as a follow-up to this brief cross-community group that's pulling user cases together. We need a lot more clarity on next steps, community involvement, and who's talking to EU regulators about what and when. On a completely separate topic, I just wanted to give the BC a heads up that Emily Taylor, who was appointed by the GNSO to the Security, Stability, and Resiliency Review Team, has resigned from that team, so there's an additional slot, I believe, for the GNSO to fill. Emily was a member of the registrar constituency. Susan or Phil perhaps could provide more detail on the process that the GNSO uses to appoint candidates or fill vacancies, but I just wanted to give people a heads up on that. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Denise. Susan, over to you, please.
So, Denise, thanks for bringing that up. That was I was told that confidentially, but obviously you're a member of that team, so it's good that it people know. And that nomination will be coming back to the Standing Selection Committee of the GNSO, which I chair, and we will quickly, hopefully, provide another candidate. We have to go back to the candidates that were in our list. We had picked 7 for the SSR team, and so we'll probably just go back to our 4th candidate and see if they're still available and interested. So we'll have a preliminary step first and then make a selection of a candidate to fill that slot.
Great. Thanks, Susan.
Fantastic. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Denise. Any other comments on this topic or this section of our agenda? I'm looking for hands. I'm seeing none. Okay, great. Then let's pass the microphone to Jensen for operations and finance. And I know we've got a bunch of things going on, so Jensen, by all means, take it away.
Okay, thank you very much, Andrew. This is Jensen speaking. As usual, my report will be in two parts, operations and finance. Under operations, firstly, we have issue of elections. Let me first say that per charter requirement, ESCOM has decided that the implementation of the charter is effective the date it was approved by ICANN board. And that was 24th of June, 2017. And to not be retroactive. So in this wise, all officers' terms are to start counting from that date, and will be next election in November based on our existing policy. You can recall that we have established a policy to hold elections in November so that the new officers can undergo transition and take their seat by January. So this same provision applies to committee chairs. That is, their time, you know, begins with the date of the new charter when it was approved. So that is, with respect to credentials and outreach committee. In the meantime, election for GNS offices, that is one councillor and two nominating committee representatives, that is one large business and one small business rep, will commence next Monday. And Chantel will be sending out the election procedures immediately after this call. As you know, Councillor, that is Phil Cohen of Internet Commerce Association, is currently occupying the council seat for this election, while Sherry Miller of Verizon is completing the term of Paul Mitchell of Microsoft, who you can recall withdrew due to personal issues. That is with respect to the Malcolm large business seat. Jay Sudowski of IT Coalition occupies the Malcolm small business seat. So all the candidates are eligible to stand for election. So the election is for the councilors for 2 years, a two-year term, while that of the Malcolm is 1 year a term. Well, of course, max two terms. Section 2.63 says that a candidate for a nominating committee position may be either a representative of a paid-off member or someone who is nominated by a member representative of the business constituency. So in the previous charter, it could just be an athlete or someone that has a connection with BC that can contest. But this time around, a lot of weight is on paid-off member and their decision, and whoever they nominate. I'd like to talk about additional information from the charter for our committees, except the executive committee. Section 4.11 talks about the chair's responsibility. And it says that the members of each committee shall elect a chair annually. Member of each committee, except the finance committee that is chaired by the vice chair, finance and operation, all other committees will have to elect their chair annually. that is, you can see that in section 4.1.1. So, having said all the above, I would like to jump to the outreach in South Africa, the outreach we did in South Africa, and the outcome of that. As Andrew well mentioned, we've been getting some boosts about the event. New members have been applying. And as at this moment, I would like to welcome a new member, Asando, from South Africa, and is being represented in BC by Billy Enkanier. So the Credential Committee have approved two more memberships, and we're waiting for their financial commitment. Yes, specifically on the outreach itself, yes, as Andrew mentioned, it was a splendid outing. I want to thank Andrew for his leadership there, and Marilyn, Lawrence, all of them. The outreach committee met, and they did a kind of post-meeting with regard to this line. We just believe that, well, if we started on time, maybe we will have gained more in terms of participation, either at the local level and broadly. They projected for 40 participation, 40 people to participate, and we had 41. So
maybe
we'll
Jensen, your line is broken up, at least on my end. Could you repeat the last 15 seconds and go forward from there?
Okay. Well, I said, can you hear me better now?
A little bit. Thank you.
Can you hear me better? Okay, you can hear me. All right. So I said that the outreach committee met yesterday, and look at lesson learned. And the first is that perhaps if we start on time, we get more traction maybe at the local level. And two, we could use the social media more readily. We have a presence on the social media now, that is the Twitter handle, that is at this constituency, BIZ constituency. That is our Twitter handle. So please follow us on Twitter, and then like our Facebook page, to boost our commitment to awareness creation and reaching more stakeholders. And also we need to continue to create awareness about what we do and what we stand for, even as we recruit more members. So, generally, I want to really appreciate Chris Mondini that presented on greasing the wheel of the internet economy. It was well received. He brought many copies of the report, maybe about 50, and they were all taken. All the speakers turned up, except one from South Africa, who was held up in traffic as he traveled from Swaziland. So, of course, thanks to Steve DeBianco, for your solid presentation. Of course, Mary Kate, Lawrence, Hibad of Google, Ariola Opeyemi, we all did very well. Patrick Jones was also there and made a very good presentation. Pierre Benjamin, the ICANN Vice President for Africa, was also there and did make very relevant presentation as an African. And Dak was also there. The Government Advisory Group, Chair of the PSWG, that is Public Safety Working Group, Alice Moyer of AU, African Union, was also there and helped clarify the role of African government in regard to internet usage in Africa. And notably, the president of the Institute of IT Professionals of South Africa and the Information Technology Association of South Africa and some possible local CEOs were in attendance. So I think this would be interesting for you to know that I can defray part of our debug budget by $2,000. Total budget for that event was about $8,500. So that is basically about operations. Then on finance, I only have just one line, and that is to appreciate members that have been responding. I think so far we have 50% payment. So 50% of our members are paid their dues. So those that are yet to do so, please, if you have any issue, just let us know so that we can help to resolve it. So this is what I have now. I don't know if there are questions. Please. Thank you, Andrew.
Great. So I've seen some fairly active stuff in the chat. Would anybody like to get on the phone and or get on the line and raise their hand and talk? Whether it's about the event, their experience of it, or about the other aspects of the finance and operations report? Marilyn, please, go ahead. Marilyn, we're not hearing you. Are you speaking? Chantal, I see you're typing. Can you help us get Marilyn's voice up? That'd be really helpful.
Let me try again. Is it working now? Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
I just wanted to comment, if I might, please. I'm looking at the list of our attendees here. I want to acknowledge Tola and you, Andrew, but also Ola. And Jensen in particular. But also, Novato, I think you brought your colleague to join us. We had also a colleague from Google as a speaker. We really are an amazing team in doing outreach. And I think we need to pause for a minute and really appreciate the work that this outreach committee does. We do both outreach and membership recruitment, and it's an amazing challenge. People like Ola and Tola and Lawrence and Jimson go out and speak frequently on our behalf. I do as well, so I'm going to pat myself on the back, and so does Andrew. But we need to understand that we make a difference. And I just want to celebrate that, because I think when we think about, okay, we've recruited X number of members, yes, we have. But you know what else we've done? We have taught the world about why business cares about ICANN. I see Lawrence is on the call. I don't think Omar is on the call, but I just, if I might, Chair, ask for perhaps, you know, a couple of minutes from our key team here, the people who are doing the real work, Ola and Lawrence and Jimson, Novato, and in our effort to reach out in Latin America, we're going to make ICANN different and the BC different if we continue to be successful in our outreach activities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. Thank you very much, Rob. This is Andrew. And thank you to everybody who participated. Would anybody amongst the group that Marilyn just mentioned, or anyone who attended the Joburg or spoke at the Joburg meeting, whether you spoke or not, would anyone like to share an impression that they have or any comments or suggestions based on that experience? If you would, that'd be a great time. Mark, Nivaldo, Aratola, anyone? Please, Lawrence.
All right. Good day, everybody. This is Lawrence. I'm not sure you can hear me. Hello?
Go ahead. We can hear you fine.
Oh, great. Fine. Yeah, so the meeting in Joburg was, the outreach in Joburg was a good opportunity that the BC utilized. Again, we have taken some better look at this, at how it went at the outreach meeting this week. And first of all, I would like to say that definitely we need more of this type of engagement to help, awareness and outreach for the BC. And I'm sure that, it was reported, a few businesses are beginning to register as members of the BC due to this particular outreach. My part of the takeaway from this particular event is to definitely start early. Next time we have to, plan an event such as this. So that we can tidy up all the logistics and have them neatly put together. And most probably, another thing that we might have to really work at next time is to see that we try to have this kind of outreach events at the same meeting venue that we're using to make it easier for arrangements or logistics and to get people accustomed to the venue where the event will be holding. But give or take, looking at the time we had to put this together and looking at it was well attended. We had almost everyone invited to speak, available to do so. And so all in all, I think this was a good one for the BC. And I hope that for the upcoming meetings, we start beginning to big arrangements if we're going to have outreaches. Thank you.
Great, Lawrence. Thank you very much for those input. Anyone else like to speak or add in some? Excuse me, I see some more. Mark, go ahead, please.
Good day, all. Am I hearable? Can you listen to me, Andrew?
We can hear you. Please go ahead.
I would like to thank all members of the BC for the warm reception. The outreach event was incredible, as well as the meetings. I could count with a lot of support from members. And what I would like to say is that seeing the success of this event, Nivaldo and I have started to engage in several talks alongside with Andrew and other members, Gabriela, in order to bring these efforts to Latin America in a continuation of our efforts to try to make the BC more present in our region, since it's so underrepresented and there is a huge business sector, not only many companies that are already present within the BC, but many relevant local players that we would very much like to see involved and that would certainly benefit our discussions. So thank you very much, everyone, for the warm reception, and we hope to continue contributing much more in the future. Thank you very much.
Mark, thank you, and thank you for your participation. I see three hands that are still up, Marilyn, Lawrence, and Mark. I assume those are all old hands, yes?
My hand's not old. I'm just going to say, let me offer to Mark and Nivaldo, I have a lot of contacts in Latin America with NRIs and the ICT associations. So if I could offer offline to contact Mark and Nivaldo, perhaps, and Gabby, perhaps we could come back with a later report about further events in Latin America.
Great, Marilyn. Jensen, microphone to you, please.
Okay, Jensen, thank you, Andrew. Well, just to note, as I wrote in the room, that the event venue, that is YCAM 59, was fully booked. So that was why we could not use it. As Lawrence also noted, if we started on earlier, maybe we would have gotten that. But it's best for logistics to have that event in the same place. Well, on another issue, with regard to ICANN 60, just for our information, we still have a little time. We, in continuation of our leadership development, and we made budget requests, we were granted two travel slots for potential leaders from developing countries. But the restriction this time around is that it has to be within the region of the ICANN event. So since ICANN 60 is happening in Abu Dhabi, that means the potential leaders from developing countries that could participate, that could apply the fund to, will have to come from Middle East and North Africa. So ICANN 61 is coming up in Panama. So I hope I'm correct. Yes. So that means you can apply it to potential leaders from Latin America and Latin America specifically. So two travel support. Then the ICANN 62 will be in Spain, Barcelona. So it applies to Europe. So that is the new clarification I just got. I just feel I should put that out as we are looking forward to building more of our capacity also in Latin America and around the world. Thank you, Andrew.
Excellent, Jensen. I'm seeing, Marilyn, is your hand still old or new?
It's a very quick new hand. I am invited as a speaker at ICANN 61 at the first North American Internet Governance School, and I'd like to propose, if I might, please, Andrew, that I collaborate with the rest of us. I'm speaking in my individual capacity, but I'd like to promote the BC. So if I can, please, I'd like to work with the Outreach Committee to have relevant materials for that.
I think that's great. Let me suggest the following, both in my position as chair and also as lead of the outreach, or one of the leads of the outreach at the stage. I think that it's very important that we've got three potential events. We've got we've got Panama, we've got Puerto Rico, and we've got Barcelona. We've got a lot of opportunity to light up parts of the world where we're not hugely deep. Latin America and Spanish-speaking Europe, and so I think we should take advantage of that. So we should be thinking in terms of making sure that we get our materials translated, getting in touch with as many people as we have. I know there are a lot of people in the BC that have contacts in Latin America, may have offices in Latin America, may have resources in Latin America, and so let's definitely be thinking on that. And I'm taking the lesson from both Jensen and Chantel to try and get as much forward as we possibly can on these things, because ICANN increasingly has tight timelines that we don't want to miss. So looks like a great opportunity for the BC. I'm hoping that we can replicate some of the great things that we've done in building our outreach to Africa in Latin America. And many congratulations to everyone who is doing work on outreach and to all of the parts of the BC that have participated. We really do appreciate that. Great news, Nivaldo. I agree with Jensen. Does anyone else have any other new business? We know Jensen mentioned that we need volunteers to fill out the committees for credentials and finance. Is there anybody else who'd like to add a comment? Marilyn, is that a new hand or an old?
Oh, sorry, old.
Great. I'm not seeing anybody else, and I think we're at the end of our time. We have our next meeting scheduled for the 3rd of August, I believe. And if no one else has any comments that they'd like to put in, Marilyn, go ahead, please.
So sorry, but now I do have a new hand. Here's my new hand. And Marilyn Kate speaking. IGF USA takes place on July the 24th in Washington, D.C. I mention it only because there are so many participants in the BC that are part of the IGF USA steering committee. I could, like, pick them up. Andrew, Barbara, Chris. Okay. But the point is, the NRIs are really, really important to advance understanding about ICANN, and most of the NRIs have sessions that are relevant, directly relevant to ICANN. So thank you, Andrew, for letting me mention it. It's Monday in Washington, D.C. I'll send Chantel the link. We have lots of remote participation available, but also you've got some key speakers like Philip and Steve and others. Oh, thanks, Steve, for posting this. Never mind, I don't have to do it. I think it's worthwhile understanding what the NRIs are doing that affect all of our work, and I know that many of our members are very actively involved in the NRIs in their countries. Thanks for letting me do this.
Great. Thank you, Marilyn. We'll see you on Monday. Anyone else have a comment before we close up? Seeing none, I'm going to give us all back 4 minutes of our day, and thank everyone for their participation, and justify.com needs to do BC nominees for next year ASAP. Right, Zahid, we're on that. That process is underway. So great for everyone. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful end of your week and a nice weekend. Keep cool, and for those of you at IGF USA, we'll see you on Monday. Cheers.
Thanks, everyone. Operator, you may now stop the recording. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and enjoy the rest of your day.